during that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Now, you're welcome back. So we're turning to GAA. The Ladies League concludes this weekend, not least with Cork against Dublin Croke Park, Saturday evening, 7:30. So that should whet the appetite, I think, for the championship ahead. We have Dublin, ultimately, when it comes to championship, going for 5 in a row. And before that, of course, Cork had won 11 of the previous 12 to discuss. Very happy to say Breed Stack is with us. Hi, Breed.
Hi, how are you keeping?
Yeah, very well. So, Camille, just on your situation for a second before we talk about this Cork-Dublin rivalry. I remember speaking to you myself and Kieran Donaghy had you on ahead of you heading out to Australia, and then things didn't go the way you would have liked or certainly could have predicted. And then you spent a lot of the time working back from your very serious injury and come home, and you weren't quite sure if you were going to go back out to Australia and Greater Western Sydney Giants. I understand they've offered you a new deal. They want you back. Have you made your decision yet? What's the story?
Look, it didn't go exactly as I hoped, but it was a phenomenal experience from, I suppose, even the week after I got injured. Like, it was, a different focus from that point on. And I have to say, it was just one of the most unbelievable experiences. I'm so, so glad that I made the leap and went out to do it. And yeah, I suppose, look, as the season went on, they saw maybe how hard it was working, and they've offered me a second year contract, which is so remarkable, and I'm so thankful to them. But I suppose there's so much to consider. Thankfully, they've given me a bit of grace to have a bit of a think about it, because I only got home 3 weeks ago, and I suppose only started seeing family members there 2 weeks ago. So it's a bit too early now to be talking to them about going back over again, if that is a possibility. So I'd say my mother and father would probably chain me to an oven if I consider going back again. So we'll have to just sit down and weigh it all up, and the pros and the cons of everything. But it was just a phenomenal experience from start to finish.
Okay, because I saw you writing in the Irish Examiner saying if it was just down to you, or if you're 10 years younger, didn't have certain commitments, of course you go back for a second season. So what are the big considerations in your decision now?
I suppose, look, we, like, first and foremost, I have a small boy, and I suppose it was an unbelievable experience. He actually grew up probably so much out there that nanas and grandas couldn't believe it when he came home and he was talking to them, and like, it was just phenomenal. So it's very, very hard to take him away from, I suppose, home and everything that he knows. As well as that, we have a business to consider, which was probably difficult at the start to kind of get to grips with things, because, we were working in different time zones. So we were working late into the night, and then, Cork's two brothers, our two business partners here, were kind of picking up the slack of four people. So it was very, very difficult on them. And as I said, I suppose mom and dad got the fright of their life. It was a horrible phone call for them to receive. And you'd hate to upset them and disappoint them. And as I said, they wouldn't be very eager for me to go back. But I'm a sporting person at the very end of the day, and I didn't fulfill what I wanted to fulfill by going out there. I wanted to go to play, and I suppose there's still that desire in me to go out and play. So there's a lot to weigh up, and if I was 10 years younger, and if I had a lot of time on my side, it would be probably a lot easier. But that's not the case. I'm lucky to be in a position to have the contract offered to me.
Listening to you now, there is no chance you're not going back.
That's my mother.
There is no chance you're not going back. There's no way you're passing one more go at that. There's no way you can live with the way it went. I got nothing sure listening to you now. If I was your mother listening to this, I'd know the writing's on the wall.
Well, I came back, I'd say, half a stone heavier, so I must do a lot of training first. We kind of took about 4 or 5 weeks at the very end of the season to do a bit of travelling. And I have a good half stone to lose. And I'd say I went back to the club and I've never been so happy to be kicking wides. So it was great. Like, I'm delighted to be back training, delighted to be back on the field. So just really enjoying that with the club at the moment. Mm. And looking forward to getting a couple of games under the belt, because I suppose, look, I just have to get confidence back in playing, getting into the tussle again and things like that. And look, that'll come with a bit of GA now as well for the summer. So looking forward to that.
Yes. Just to jog people's memories, I know you know all this, but in case people kind of half remember, you went out there and in January in pretty much your first game, there was a kind of full frontal collision and you were in hospital and it was your neck and it was a fracture, I think, of your C7 vertebrae, and you were in a neck brace for a while, and obviously playing the season didn't really happen. I know you stayed out there and it seems really impressed them. And that's obviously the reason they've offered you another contract, is your presence and your dedication and how hard you worked to get back and almost, you know, be kind of... I know you were... I was reading your Irish Examiner columns along the way, and your neurosurgeon, Dr. Parkinson, was ringing you, and there was good news and then bad news. But I got a sense from those how hard you worked. So that was the experience. I looked at a photo again of the moment where it's you on the ground and there's a blanket over you and obviously the medics are around you, and at that stage you hear neck and you think so serious, and Cora Staunton is standing about 2-3 metres away looking on very, very concerned. Do you have a memory of those few very, very scary moments where I guess you must have known something serious had happened?
Oh geez, I have a very, very vivid memory of it, yeah. And something I definitely don't want to experience again, I suppose. Look, I was very, very fortunate during a long career at Cork that I never suffered a serious injury. I actually probably didn't ever suffer too many injuries, bar, you know, little hamstring tweaks or that way along the way. So, I remember it as clear as day, and I probably will for a long time. Mm. But it was just an excruciating shot of pain up my neck and up my arm. I kind of had an impacted nerve as well on my right arm, which actually was probably what I thought in my head was the thing that was going to slow me down the absolute most, because you know, that probably took the longest to get full power back in that. But look, thankfully that has come back, and thankfully I have a neck now like a bull calf. So after doing all my rehab, so I can open doors neck first and everything, like, you know. So that's how it is at the moment. But yeah, look, I suppose I was very, very thankful, obviously, look, that I didn't have a different outcome. I suppose, look, even the gym I go to and the gym that I was working very hard in before I left for Australia is a rehabilitation gym. So I've plenty of friends in that gym that, you know, are bound by wheelchairs and do an amount of rehab work. So I suppose I know firsthand kind of what maybe could have been ahead of me. And so that was obviously a very, very scary thought. But I suppose, look, in the initial couple of hours, thankfully, when I was getting the diagnosis coming through, we're getting better and better, thankfully. You know, I know how fortunate I am, but I think it was important for me because I had made such a big move for myself and my family to get over there that I make the most of it. And so I think it was very, very important for me that I parked that straight away as much as possible, to kind of park it and kind of set myself new goals. And I did that kind of weekly. And as the time went on, I always ever worked in the short term. And yeah, maybe there was a bit of madness in me thinking that I'd be back at the end of the year, but I needed something to focus on. So yeah, I worked extremely hard to get back. And I suppose, look, as the weeks went on, I made sure I got myself fully immersed into the club and into the setting. And yeah, probably, I suppose, my mindset and maybe a bit of resilience kind of shone through. And, you know, that was what I could impart onto the club, which I suppose it was important to get involved. And as an injured player, it's important to not isolate yourself from the rest of the playing group. So I did that as much as possible, and I trained very hard. And I suppose, look, the head coach was very impressed with me, and he asked me to get involved with the younger players, which, you know, I relished that as well, because I loved getting to know people and getting to know them on I suppose basis outside the club as well. So I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned so much, and so much, I suppose, that I can take back into normal life, but so much that you can take back to the club and you know, how to make improvements and things. So just learned so much out there. So it was, as I said, the experience of a lifetime. And I know it wasn't the experience I hoped for, but I'm so delighted that I went out.
Yes. I presume something like that can be traumatic in its own way. How are you feeling about getting back into contact now that you're fully healed and have, you know, the green light to go?
Yeah, so I suppose, when I was given the green light by Dr. Parkinson over, It was towards the end of kind of the season. It was probably week 10, 11. And as the club hadn't made finals, you know, it meant our season was effectively finished. So Alan, the head coach, Alan McConnell, like, he just took me under his wing for the 4 or 5 weeks that I stayed on. And I'd say I did sessions probably most days, if not every second day. And Cora was still over there. We kind of said we'd hold tough until kind of Ireland opened up a bit. And, you know, I'm so glad we did, because I just got so much one-on-one time with him, and he has built back my confidence something unbelievably. I suppose, and once he kind of got the green light from Dr. Parkinson, geez, there was no holding me back. Right. He was flaking me with dongles. He was, you know, I was tackling bags and stuff like that. Like, you know, so to come back then and I suppose to be straight back into the club after I came out of isolation was very important. And I suppose even the first training session back, I found myself, you know, running on the outside a small bit, you know, even in the kind of AVBs. So it was very important, I suppose, last week, you know, for my second training session back, that I got a bit more stuck in. And, you know, I'm back training 2 weeks now. I've had another 3 sessions under my belt, and it's just slowly, I suppose, chipping away and just getting more stuck in. And right. You know, that'll come too. And yeah, so like, it's just all about building back confidence again. And yeah, thankfully it's moving quick. Yeah,
great, super. Telling the girls around you, don't go easy. I mean, give me a wallop, I need to get back going. Here is the thing. So Cork against Dublin in the league final. Everyone looking forward to this. It's the big two. Yeah. They played out like a 7-goal thriller about 3 weeks ago. I don't know will we get as open a game this time around. How are these two pitching up against each other, not just in this game, but also, you know, the championship ahead? There's just a sense these two are ahead of the rest at the moment. How do you see things?
Like you can see right, they're meeting on Saturday, and you can see they're destined to meet as well for down the line in championship. It's going to be very kind of quick turnaround. There's only 2 weeks of a turnaround now, I think, to championship. So in my head, I suppose, look, it really is kind of the two horse race. Donegal, I was really excited to see how Donegal and Cork would go. I suppose, yeah, I'm a small bit disappointed maybe with Donegal's defence at times. So, you know, if they can get that going, they're probably, you know, I suppose, ranked third. But for me, definitely Cork and Dublin seem to be just streets ahead at the moment. So yeah, like, it's no surprise that they're meeting now in Division One final. They served up a cracker, which was really, really free flowing. But I think it'll definitely be a cagier affair on Saturday. There'll be a lot more kind of systems in place and a lot more kind of, I can definitely see kind of a lot more tactics maybe being brought into it on Saturday. Definitely, yeah.
So Dublin, obviously, you're going for 5 in a row when it comes to championship. They beat Cork 3 weeks ago. How do Cork close that gap? What's the big gap between the sides?
Yeah, I think Cork are closing the gap. And like, I suppose historically, Cork would do very, very well at the league stages. You know, over the last 15 years, they've been involved in the last, you know, they've won 12 of the last 15 finals. So typically they're doing very, very well there. They're still beating Dublin at you know, in league stages, but, you know, Dublin just, I suppose, look, Dublin just don't place huge weight on the league, and, you know, they make their priority the championship. And for the last 4 years, they've proven, you know, that has served them really well. They're going for 5 in a row, like you say. And I think, to be honest, Cork are probably the only ones that can knock them off that pedestal. Cork definitely needed to sort out their defence over the last couple of years. You know, I think they do have better shape now. They are, you know, they're better set up. They're still breaking at pace, but I suppose I'm still just a small bit concerned about their one-on-one individual battles in the backs. While they are putting up huge, huge scores, they're still conceding huge margins. Like, okay, I think for Stonewall, they conceded something like 313, and against Dublin, 315. Yeah. So, you know, if you're going to get over Dublin, like, you can't be conceding 315.
No.
So, like, I suppose, look, there still needs to be a good bit of work done. There's still a few girls that need to come into that panel, but I suppose since our last All-Ireland win in 2016, you know, there was probably a big shift for that team come 2017. So there are girls there that now have a good 4 years of playing that maybe, you know, obviously before 2016, maybe found it difficult to break into that team. So I just think this team is, the Cork team, I mean, now is a little bit more settled. I think they are a bit more hardened, and I think their mindset is a lot sharper than it you know, might have been in a couple of years previous, because even in the last game there versus Dublin, they went down 8 points. And I think a Cork team of the last 2 or 3 years, if they went down 8 points versus Dublin, they would hang the head. Whereas like they came out after halftime, they shot 2-2, you know, they made sure that they kept themselves in contention all the time and kept putting, playing with abandon nearly, which they needed to do against Dublin, because they've played really, really cagey against Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final and in the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, and it didn't serve them. So, you know, I think there's just a little bit more hardness about this Cork team. So you'd like to see them do a bit better. You know,
yeah, well, that sets up the season very interestingly. Listen, it's fantastic to see you're back and healthy and throwing yourself into football again. So that's great to hear. And listen, break it to the family gently when you tell them you're going back to Sydney, won't you?
Yeah, I'd say no. There isn't enough Toblerone in the world if I brought it back from them. I'll keep you updated.
Do. Breedstack, great having you on. Thanks so much. Best of luck.
Thank you. GAA on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.